How have you not seen this?
The podcast, as always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I am joined for part two of our Expendables trilogy series with Sumak Toriyalkar.
Hey, Dustin.
And Brooke Cardis.
Hello.
And we just finished Expendables 2, the second installment in the franchise, which tragically loses Mickey Rourke along the way.
Was there a reason for that?
I don't think his character was written into it. Like, no. I was reading up on it, and I
don't think his character was written into the first one either.
a new babe is added. I'll look up her name later, but her character's name is Maggie. Mm-hmm. And then we get Ortiz with Liam Hemsworth for about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were talking about Liam Hemsworth when you were talking about the babe. Oh. Just for the record, I was like, yeah!
Well, also, a total babe factory, Liam Hemsworth. We get a great villain in Jean-Claude Van Damme.
So much makeup.
Who actually, his character's name is Villain, which is just a very lazy pronunciation change for villain, pretty much. And then, of course, Schwarzenegger and Willis' cameos are beefed up. And, oh, hey, Chuck Norris is along for the ride this time, too, because why not? So, what did you guys think of this one?
I actually enjoyed it better than the first. But I have bias. I love Van Damme. His appearance in it was good. I think they made a very good role for him as a villain. And he can play that pretty well of just, I'm the tough guy here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I liked that element of it. I don't think what they were doing was really made any sense. It just didn't matter. I don't know. I just wish they just fought a lot more than tried to develop anything out of this plot, because it wasn't particularly a strong plot. But I like that. We'll get into Chuck Norris, I enjoyed his appearances. But while at the same time, they also were, like, the weakest moments of the film to me. But I don't know. I enjoyed it still. I just wish these movies wouldn't even try. Like, it would just be pure action.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's why we're here.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're throwing in a story that just seems like it doesn't even make much sense, like, why? Just give me all action.
Yeah.
That's why we're all here, right? I mean, like, the people who are going to see this movie who love these action stars, like, that's all we want.
Yeah, we don't need to know about Liam Hemsworth's girlfriend.
Right.
Who, by the way, is, like, hanging out in Paris and is totally fine. She's got a fucking shoebox full of cash.
Earlier?
Yeah.
That she was in Paris?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. It's that scene where I think we all kind of tuned out when he's talking to him outside the bar. And he's all like, oh, we get it. This life is hard. Get out while you're young.
Yeah, okay, that's become a theme.
Yeah.
It's the tough life these guys live. They can't be with women at all.
Yeah. I mean, they can, but they can't stay with them. It's really the
Lee
message.
Christmas can be with women.
But he's pussy-whipped because he's with a woman.
Yeah, I cannot wait for The Expendables 3 when this relationship continues to develop for no reason.
I hope it ends at the wedding. That's the last scene.
Yeah.
It might be. I like this better than the first one, too, actually, because... Mm-hmm. Even though there was, like, superfluous plot additions,
right.
At least it didn't cut from the action. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't, like, we didn't have to go back to America for, like, the domestic bullshit or whatever was going on. At least the townspeople they were saving were, like, part of the plot. Like, I liked that they didn't leave a lot and, like, cut to a lot of different stuff. So, like, the action kept moving. But yeah, I mean, there was just so many deus ex machinas with Chuck Norris that it was like every time they were in a situation they couldn't get out of, instead of like having a instead of solving the problem themselves by like pushing a motorcycle into a helicopter, because we've all been there, riding a phantom motorcycle into a helicopter, they would be like, and then there's Chuck Norris, who like magically, you know what I mean? So that was kind of weird. I also don't know what's up with like Stallone and his, I mean, serious Asian fetish or, like, fetish for Pacific Islander women, because it's getting kind of weird. Like, he's moving his way through, like, ethnic minority women in their 30s who are in love with him. And I think that's kind of bizarre, and I'm just hoping for...
That's because there are no problems in America, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe Expendables 3 takes place in Ferguson. Oh, that would be really great. So.
Well, and that's... Okay. That's my big... Not the women thing, which it's like, whatever.
But yeah, fuck them.
Well, just more like, okay, I understand it's an action movie. You need to throw in some level of a romantic, part to it. But that's also just really lazy. And you're annoyed because you're like, why is these 30-year-olds into him? And why is he pursuing that, yet not pursuing it?
Well, it's he's not pursuing it. They're, like, throwing themselves at him, and he's beating them off because, like... He can't do that. He's too dangerous. And, like, I'm bad luck. And her legs are spread. And she's like, but why not? And it's this, like, weird dynamic of, like, I don't know. It's like he's too good for them. It drives me crazy.
It's not that he's too good. It's that he's too bad. And I love it. Because in that way, Stallone is basically a Smith song with biceps and guns.
Yeah.
He's like, where he doesn't think very highly of himself at all, and he knows he's bad news.
Well, we've all been with that guy. Like, I mean, everyone in this room has been with that guy. Like, everyone's been with that guy in college with the guitar. It's like, I'm just a badass. Like, Stallone has, like, empty liquor bottles on his shelf. Like, that. Yeah. He's that douchebag. Like, that's what I think it drives me crazy. He's like, I just can't.
Beer can pyramid in the coffee table.
Yeah, but I'm
going to
make you hold on. Like, at least the girl in the first one got some money out of it. Jesus. Yeah. Hey, what did this girl get out of it?
She should have gone with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, gross. Oh, that's such the creepiest line in the movie. We went from, like, sexy to rapey. Like, so fast.
I don't even know that it's sexy. Like...
Well, no, when she says it.
Romance develops via gazes in this movie. And just, like,
as
weird ethnic food references.
What if, like, we were just, like, out, like, with a group of comedians, and we were all talking, and I was like, I don't know, I just really like Indian. And I just stared at you. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, what? You'd be like... Fuck you! Like, you don't all taste the same.
Yeah, or the six other people would be like, this got real weird. Yeah. You two just fuck or don't.
Like, you're just ended a very bizarre food sex conversation.
Well, and she's the one that sexualizes it, too. It's not even the guys that do it.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, oh, we would just eat, you know, whatever, like...
Soup! I fucking love soup. But then, like, Dolph Lundgren gets so weird... Because he's like, and I love Chinese. I'm like, oh god, like, that's so gross.
I will say, that's only after she says the thing about Italian food to Stallone.
Yeah, but Stallone's the exception to the rule, right? He's the guy with the guitar. You can say whatever you want about Stallone. Look at those arms.
But Stallone never capitalized on it. So like,
right, because he's
so
too
good. So Stallone
is
like the guy with the guitar, but the version that's not a total fuckbag.
Yeah, because he has a girlfriend at home and he's trying to hold on to her, but they still flirt. I don't even think he
flirts that hard.
Oh my god, he totally flirts hard. Are you serious?
Who are we talking about?
Stallone?
It's, but it's real.
Like, protective daddy flirting.
It's...
Yeah, that's very accurate.
I think it's like... Yeah, like, it's almost to the point where he doesn't even seem like he's aware that he's doing it.
Oh, right. No, none of the handsome men are. They don't even know. Okay. I'm really excited. I don't even know your nationality, Dustin. What nationality are you?
White? I don't know.
I can't say I like white food.
Mix of many things.
Yeah, yeah. It's
be
like,
really
I've,
fun if I was...
I like, it's like there's some German in there.
Like, I love German food. It's so comfortable.
I think it's like maybe an eighth Cherokee in there somewhere.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So weird.
Let alone that it's like they're talking about what their last meal would be, so it's almost some weird sexual, like,
yeah,
my
like,
last sex act will be with you.
will be to ride the Italian stallion.
We'll be on a pile of lo mein. So weird. I liked the subplot because it would, like, harken back to the old movies I used to watch with my dad and growing up, like all those old action movies. There was always plutonium. I love that. I was like, that is such a classic.
Oh, Back to the Future.
I fucking love it. Yeah, I liked that it wasn't a warlord who was like beating up people like the first one. I love the old school, like, it's in the mind. Like, I love that shit because it reminds me of like old Indiana Jones.
That. Like, the entire franchise is supposed to be a throwback to those kinds of movies.
I think this
one. But this one definitely, I think, does it better. especially after having watched it with you guys, like, because before this viewing, like, I was still kind of leaning towards the first as my favorite, but after watching this again, like, fresh, like, I do like this one a lot more now. And I think it's because I've never watched them, like, in such close proximity to each other before, so I haven't been able to really properly compare them one against the other, like, while they were fresh. But, yeah, I definitely like this one a lot more. It cuts down a lot of the unnecessary bullshit that we got in the first one. I think the action sequences are even better for the most part. Like, really, the only thing that this movie is missing is the Dolph Lundgren and Jet Li fight scene again.
What? Did Jet Li have a scheduling conflict?
Yeah, I was reading about that, because I remember being really bummed when I saw this in the theater. Like, he jumped off the plane, I was like, oh, he'll meet up later. And every scene where, like, somebody saves him was like, oh, Jet Li's back, awesome. Oh, no, it's just Chuck Norris.
Right.
But, yeah, he was working on another film, so he was only able to do that first sequence, which sucks, because I fucking love Jet Li in these movies.
Yeah. Well, that's why he had that great scene with the pots and pans, the opening scene. Right?
Yeah, oh, my God, that fight sequence is so good.
Yeah.
We get that great line about Chinese takeout
on
the plane.
So many food things.
Yeah.
So weird. Oh, yeah, when Jet Li flies out of the hatchet.
Yeah.
This movie, even more so, was heavy on its cheese lines and puns.
Well, the throwbacks, Schwarzenegger, Willis.
Yeah.
But
Chuck
Norris.
But do you like that? See,
I liked it to a point. I think there were definitely a couple of points where it was too heavy.
Right. Well, I guess the point of, like, these 2 seconds of I'll be back and then yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, that...
I don't want that. Like,
I didn't care for.
It just... It's unnecessary. We love these action movies, so we're already here for them. So you don't need to, like, call back to them in a really cheesy and forced way. Like, that was just annoying.
Like, I let Terry Crews' Terminator line. I let that slide just because Terry Crews can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And I was even fine with Schwarzenegger, like, burrowing into the mines and saying, I'm back. Like, he says that no matter what movie he's in, no matter what character he is. So I'm totally okay with that, too. But,
the
yippee-ki-yay. I was like, also, if you're going to say yippee-ki-yay, what? Just say motherfucker. Don't give me the fucking TV edit of the line. Say the whole thing if you're going to say it. Don't be a pussy.
But that was already an issue with, like, Live Free or Die Hard, right?
Yeah,
They cut that.
No. They do say the motherfucker. With a PG-13, you're allowed one fuck.
Okay.
You're allowed one. Because Adam Sandler movies do it all the time.
Mm. And they're the source.
At the end of your life, you're also allowed one fuck.
PG-13 movie.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yep.
What's up? Are you still...
I don't know a lot of the action movies. So, okay. Like, the old action movies. So, like, those didn't bug me as much. Because I have no idea, until you just said Die Hard, what Yippee-ki-yay was from. Like, I don't know that.
Have you never seen Die Hard?
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, my God.
Now, we need to do another round of podcasts.
We just did all four of the Die Hards with Lisa.
Damn it. I love waking up at 7 a.m. to be with you on a Saturday.
We did that with Die Hard, too.
Did you? But I think, like, they didn't bug me. Those exchanges didn't bug me as much as, like, Chuck Norris and the, like, weird Cobra thing. Like, I get it. Like, you have to poke fun at yourself. But that whole exchange was so serious.
That dialogue is very unnatural. I'm not opposed to the idea of Chuck Norris popping up, but, like...
No, but the dialogue is all unnatural with these guys.
And
they're not
comfortable. And, like, the self-referential, like, the Chuck Norris fact, I was like, fuck off, man.
The Chuck Norris joke type thing.
Like, don't fucking script around a goddamn internet meme.
Also, if you're just gonna fucking show up, fucking help the townspeople in the mine, asshole.
Yeah.
Don't be like, I'm a lone wolf. Like, don't do that.
I think the bummer, like, I would have been way less opposed to Chuck Norris showing up if that, like, that scene lasts 10 seconds. Like, the actual action part of it. Once he's there, it's like, kills everybody, blows up a tank. Mm-hmm. All in the space of 10 seconds. I'm fucking, like, make it into a proper sequence.
Right.
Like, because when it's them, like, running around and, like, returning fire, like, and it's an actual action sequence, like, it's interesting.
It's not just a massacre.
Yeah, but then Chuck Norris shows...
Norris jokes, and, like, to me, those things are enjoyed by, like, people who don't care about Chuck Norris or find him to be a joke.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that's necessary to be throwing in
there. No, definitely.
And then, like, I don't mind him showing up out of nowhere and doing that.
Yeah.
But I think that they get stuck in gets resolved.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. It's just really...
It's definitely a crutch that a lot of those scenes use. I did like the fact that they refer to Lone Wolf McQuaid. I was fine with that. But yeah, like Brooke was saying, he's completely this Deus Ex Machina that just... pops up, like, for no reason. Like, just, like, if you gotta work around his schedule, that's fine. You can write that into the script, though, so it's not just like, oh, suddenly a wild Chuck Norris appears out of nowhere.
There was a lot of Hail Marys this
yeah.
And maybe that's why you didn't like it as much as the first one that first time
around. That was definitely part of it, was I felt the plot was weaker, but then after watching this first one through, I was like, what plot?
Yeah, you're dealing with that too. But I like that there was like less stuff at home, and there was like less weird monologues in a garage.
As long as
you cut the weird monologues in the garage, I'm in.
And that was the great thing too, because like once like the plot is properly kicked off, like the movie is in full on like advancing the plot mode pretty much.
Right.
Whereas like opposed to like, oh, we got a recon and then go back to our garage and then go check out this other thing and then we're back at the garage and Mickey Rourke's painting a guitar and being sad and then
so good.
I wanted to throw this out before I forget it. Jet Li's other great line in the movie is right before he jumps out and Dolph Lundgren says, "Who am I going to pick on?" Yeah. And Jet Li just says, "I'm sure you'll find another minority," and then jumps out of the plane.
I did like that line. That took care of like all the ethnocentric bullshit from the first one.
The fucked up thing, though, which I never occurred to me before, Dolph Lundgren does find another minority. Right.
Or maybe not. Maybe they're the same minority. Oh my god, stop. Oh, so creepy.
He picks on her with his heart.
I'm making a face, listeners. I'm making a very nasty, nasty face.
Is it the same face when he just goes, "Ugh"? Chinese.
Oh my god, so gross.
Speaking of Dolph Lundgren, there were an inordinate number of cuts to him doing something for 1 second.
Yeah.
He threw a chicken, right? Yeah. He just laughs, you know, there's so many just laughing sequences in this movie.
I love Dolph Lundgren in this movie so much.
Like, the editor's probably like, oh, I gotta stick something there. How about Dolph laughing for a second?
I know that, like, he is really an intelligent man, right? We were talking about how he's, like, he actually went to MIT.
Yeah, and they even wrote that into the script.
Right, like, come on. Like, don't write that shit in. I don't care about your background, dude. Like, blow stuff up or don't. And you can't even do that. Like, I understand they wanted to, like, give him more beef, but I was like, I'm not on board with this. Like, but he's also a Fulbright. I was like, he's a rapey fucking Fulbright. He's a Fulbright. He makes me very, very uncomfortable. But I know he's kind of supposed to be like the bad egg of the bad eggs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of his role, to be like a skis bucket.
Yeah.
But I'd prefer if he wasn't the brilliant one.
Yeah. Well, and it's definitely a bummer they don't write him more that way. Like, especially after the first one, because, like, he's cleaned up his act, like, from the first one.
Yeah, but they didn't really touch that. He just kind of goes from, like, Satan to, like, saint.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about heroin or whatever the fuck he was addicted to. I'm assuming it was heroin because he's so hardcore. I'm sure he wasn't addicted to, like,
he
pills.
Was using. What he was using is an important
He was fucking
point.
Using, man. He was using.
He was using. The government was involved. Don't know what part of the
whatever. But, like, I just wonder, I'm like, okay, like, are we just not even going to touch that? Like, there's no, like, he's doing good or anything. We're just going to talk about how brilliant he is. And I'm like, oh, okay, he was never addicted to drugs. Cool. What? I want more continuity, and you laugh at my ignorance.
No,
it's okay.
One of the other things, let's talk about Liam Hemsworth, I guess. I don't think we've really touched on that yet. Liam Hemsworth is clearly supposed to be, like, the redeemable one out of them, and then he gets a knife roundhouse kicked into his heart by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
We've all been there.
Which was great.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't...
Not for him or the character. I found the character to be good, and I think
that's
it's
an awesome kill, though.
That he was killed.
So early. I thought it was unfortunate he was killed so early. I understand it drove the plot.
Yeah.
Right. But, I went like, oh, because that was not what I was expecting to happen. And any time Van Damme is kicking is a good time on screen, I think.
He's a good kicker.
I guess I wanted them to kill off... I mean, I wanted them to kill off Dolph Lundgren. I think we can all agree I don't like him. But I wanted... I guess, like, for me, The Grudge, while I understand that he was young and he represented Stallone's shattered youth.
Yeah.
And that's why Stallone was super pissed. I think Stallone would have been more angry if one of his team members that had been there for, like, 7 years had gotten killed. Right, and I know it's still, like, there's that, like, I mean, I know it's not as metaphorical and as fun, but I mean, like, if one of the other guys was killed.
Yeah.
Like, kill Jet Li. If you know he can't do the show, but you can't do it.
He couldn't come back for three then.
Oh, that's true. Right.
When they ran the trailers for this, when they were initially promoting it, like the plot synopsis, like the very limited one they gave, was just like a member of the team is killed and the team is out for revenge. This time it's personal or whatever, basically. And since Rourke wasn't billed, I just assumed that it was him.
Oh, that would have been great.
And and I just figured, he's either uncredited or maybe it happens in between. And instead of setting bullshit up, they just jump into the movie and they're like, hey,
nope.
Tool's dead. Yeah. So we're going to be avenging him for 2 hours.
But I guess the difference is that, like, if someone, like, if he died, they all have these, like, broken, shattered souls, right? They don't want it. Stallone says at the weird pyre Viking funeral or whatever for Helmsworth, like, oh, how ironic that the one guy who wanted to live, deserved to live, lived, and then, or died, and then we who want to die live. So I understand, like, if he died and was, like, super old, they'd probably be like, do you want to go and revenge his death? I don't know, because I got to go meet my new girlfriend / fiance. I'm super swamped. So maybe they wouldn't have done it.
And that's the thing, too. I think Stallone is the only one of them that doesn't care if he lives or dies. Like, I think everybody else in that group has a lot. Like, Toll Road, clearly an intellectual. Like, he's not a dummy. Every time you see him when he's not killing people, he's always reading. So
you know he's smart.
Like, yeah. He clearly
by the rules of action movies, you know he's smart.
But, I mean, but he also, he clearly has interest in things besides just killing stuff. Whereas, like, even Terry Crews, in his downtime, is always playing with a weapon. Like, he's always sharpening his razor.
Or cooking or Gattone.
Yeah, yeah. But
he also likes Italian.
But again, Terry Crews, like, he's a very handsome dude. He's fun. He's lighthearted.
He's fun?
Like, there's no way he doesn't
have
something.
So the demons are only getting to Stallone.
Yeah, yeah. Statham is got a girlfriend, again, the same girl. And, like, even Dolph Lundgren, now that he's not on whatever fucking drugs he was, like, he seems a lot more fun this time around, too. Like, Stallone is the only one that really seems to be weighing on personally in this movie. I'm like, maybe you should just retire, Stallone. Like, everybody else on your team...
Go start talking to a guitar.
Yeah, everybody else seems to want to live for the most part.
True.
I guess that was the only glimmer of depth. Or an attempt at depth in this movie was like post Billy the Kid's death.
Yeah, yeah.
When he has this speech that's nothing new or special. Like, why does, you know, someone who doesn't deserve to die die?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But, I don't know. It brought meaning, I suppose.
Yeah.
It was
the long ago captain, my captain.
Yeah. Oh, too soon.
Look, that fucking poem existed before Robin Williams died.
I disagree with you. I humbly disagree.
You're telling me Robin Williams didn't write that poem?
He wrote the whole script.
Okay, so we're... If you don't mind me, like, moving things
along. I just wanted to say something really quick. I love the moment of poignancy is immediately shattered when they ask Stallone what to do, and his response is just track him, find him, kill him.
Yeah.
Like... That was all I wanted to say.
Oh, that's okay. We were talking about the lines that are weird. His rest in pieces line is hilarious, if only because he doesn't deliver it with any sense of, like, I'm saying something clever. He's just like, boom, rest in pieces. And, like, it's just like a normal line, and then we cut to the next
scene. He says it every time that the team unloads 50 rounds into a dude.
Oh, man. You know what? I wish I did have a favorite line, but I don't want to take yours from you, and I think we have the same favorite line.
Oh. Yeah, we could say it.
All right.
In unison.
Yeah.
By the power invested in me,
I now pronounce you
man and knife. So great.
By Statham disguised as a priest.
A shitty priest. Like, not a good... That was not a good disguise. That was a towel. That was, like, a draped sheet.
That's one of my favorite, like, that, the village sequence is probably my favorite action sequence in the whole movie, aside from that Jet Li fight in the very beginning.
Yeah,
it's
just short.
Because most of that scene is Jason Statham fighting those dudes in that little chapel, and...
With a knife.
Yeah, well, it's him, like, knifing, and then, like, also doing his fucking karate shit, too. And at one point, he's, I don't know what the fuck those things are, like, the chain things that, like, he swings around at one point and starts, like... beating the shit out of them with two. But yeah, it's a fucking great fight sequence.
Yeah, no, I liked that fight sequence a lot, but that line was great. Knife puns are just...
I hope there are so many more knife puns in this next one.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, it's going to be...
Is that what you're most excited for?
Knife fights?
No, I mean just, we're going to go see the movie now, The Expendables 3,
yeah,
in theaters.
Oh, I'm super pumped. I'm very excited for me to have introduced you to this, but then for us to experience the newest one together.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to take turns waking up Sumac.
It's very possible. I feel good. I had a large coffee. I mean, I should be all right.
I'm going to need a Diet Coke to get through this.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing is sometimes, you know, you do, like, back-to-back movies, or if it's, like, the same movie, you're kind of like, no, maybe not.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, had that been maybe the first... Because this movie was just tighter, and I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
definitely.
That
it
was,
it
like,
shorter?
An hour and 40 minutes, and they didn't, like... Like I said, the first one was, what, 2 hours?
It was close
yeah,
to 2 hours,
so,
yeah.
And, you know...
I think they cut... Well, there was a lot less exposition. You don't need all the
yeah,
explanation.
Yeah, way less purpose.
I mean, they could have cut it anyways in the first one, but I think there was kind of setting up... I know what you said for the first one, they didn't know it was going to be a trilogy.
They wanted it to, but, I mean, of course, you can never really determine that until you see how what
the
numbers look
like.
The box
office are. So I think, like, set... That was... The problem with the first one is if it wasn't a trilogy, it would have sucked. Because
yeah.
of all the exposition. But because there is, you know, you're lined up for three, I don't mind sitting through, like, Frodo in the Shire, for lack of a better term, for a while, because I know there's a lot coming.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to start making some predictions about Expendables
3.
Ooh,
prediction time! Miss Cleo, let's
I
do
think
it.
The movie will end with laughter and a fist bump.
Of course.
on
do
a
you,
plane.
Okay.
That
right.
seems pretty obvious.
Yeah.
If it doesn't.
He's gonna storm out.
I'm really excited to see where Jason Statham's relationship is going.
Lee Christmas?
Yeah,
is her
Lee,
last
with...
name like Jessica Thanksgiving? I just love it.
It's simply Lacey.
Just Lacey. Lacey,
Lacey.
Christmas?
Lacey, oh.
If they got married, ew.
Lacey Christmas just sounds...
Dolph Lundgren would be like, oh, it's a Lacey Christmas over there.
Lacey Christmas sounds like the name of a porn star who's not even trying.
Yeah, exactly. No, Dolph... Oh, Dolph Lundgren is going to make so many awful Christmas cookie jokes.
What I would like...
That's what he's going to call her vagina.
It's...
Yikes.
Part of me wants to see it happen, even though it already happened in one of the Bond films, where post-sex scene with him and Lacey, she says something like, I thought Christmas only came once a year.
Oh, ooh, that would be great. Yeah, Christmas came way late.
Yeah,
that
right,
was great.
That
was so
Have
weird.
Have you read about this movie?
Expendables 3?
Yeah.
Like, only peripherally.
Okay.
Like, so I mean,
I haven't read a thing. I'm walking in.
Yeah, like, all, I know that Mel Gibson is the bad guy, and I know that the cast that they've added, like, includes, like, Banderas and Ronda Rousey.
Right. I did see that.
And Wesley Snipes, which I'm super fucking excited about.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm very, like, Wesley Snipes is seriously so good when he's in roles like this. And actually, I was reading, Stallone offered Snipes a part in the first one, but it was right around the trouble that all his tax evasion shit was starting, and
right.
he wasn't able to leave the country without, like, court approval and stuff like that. So then they tried to get 50 Cent, who fortunately turned it down, but then that role ended up becoming Terry Crews.
Yeah, who's just fucking money.
Oh, who's
so
good.
He's fantastic
good. Yeah,
in it.
Yeah, Terry Crews is
He does lighten
wonderful.
It up. He lightens it up. He lightens it up, but he makes it fun.
Like, even... Like, even in dramatic roles, like, Terry Crews, like, he brings, like, a certain levity to, like, whatever he's in. And I fucking love him in every single thing he's in. My little endorsement, too, anyone who's listening, and you guys, if you're not watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
mm-hmm.
you should be solely for Terry Crews. Like, the entire show, the entire cast is great, but Terry Crews fucking steals every moment that he's on screen in that show.
Is he still on that Ice Cube show on TBS? Isn't it? Are we there yet? Isn't that still?
Oh, that I forgot that not? Got made into a.
Yeah, he was in it.
Yeah,
I don't know if it still exists.
I can't imagine it's lasted very long.
Well, they did one of those things where, like, you know, you get 10 episodes and then it's 90 episodes because they're trying to get to syndication.
Yeah,
make that agreement. So, Are We There Yet was, like, one of the first ones to ever get that. So I was like, oh, all right, Terry Crews has got a good 5 seasons of work on this show.
Yeah.
But oh, I never watched it, so I didn't really know if it continued.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's good.
No, but, you know.
Like, I'm sure he probably
sure he does well.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like those are always the actors that are impressive when it's like, clearly the script is like nothing, but I enjoy your presence.
Well, that's it. Like, Terry Crews, like, he's been in, like, he's in Training Day, which is a great fucking movie.
Right.
And he's, like, a very small role in it, but he's great in it. But then he's also in something like White Chicks, too, which, like, I like that Terry Crews...
You love White Chicks. I'm gonna get you, like,
the
DVD special.
I only love that scene. I still haven't actually seen the movie yet.
Oh my god, still? You were talking about this on the first podcast. You need to watch it. You can't come with us to Expendables 3. You have to watch White Chicks.
Probably off podcast, but there's a great conversation that could be had about best performance by someone in a movie that is horrible.
Oh.
We
another round of podcasts.
I've had this discussion before in conversations,
and it's
a very fun one.
We'll make it a bonus podcast sometime down the road.
Because all of a sudden you learn about horrible films from other people, and then you're like, ooh, I just want to watch this because apparently you thought this person was
great. Absolutely.
So it's
an exception.
Terry Crews does it, because I think Christopher Walken has gone on record as saying, like, he will straight up never turn down any role he's offered.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, it's fun. Like, I mean, he very much loves his job. Like, what does it matter if he's in a good movie or a bad movie? Like, I don't think, with very few exceptions, like, no movie has killed, like, a celebrity's, like, bankability. Unless it was somebody like a Kelly Clarkson, who wasn't, like, an actor to begin with.
Bankable.
Like, yeah, and nobody said, oh, from Justin to Kelly is going to catapult her into a P.T. Anderson film.
I guess it depends on the person. Like, if you look at... You have to already be established,
absolutely,
to have that ability.
Certainly.
I mean, they even talked about... I mean, Robin Williams is fresh in our mind, but even he had moments where it was like, okay, here's a couple movies that aren't on the same level what you just did, but then he'd pop back up with something
exactly.
again.
Like, yeah,
sometimes
like,
you gotta take a break with, like, flubber.
Yeah.
Sometimes everyone needs a flubber.
Yeah.
A paycheck and have fun and
whatever.
Well,
like
he was in Death to Smoochie, which, like, critically and commercially, not a great movie.
No.
I fucking love Death to Smoochie.
Yeah, it's totally your personality.
But at the same time, like, within a couple of... Like, I mean, it's not like he wasn't back doing movies again. And any periods where, like, he's had, like, long, like, droughts between movies has been, like, his own choosing, typically.
Right. Again, it just depends on the star, because I think Walken could easily do that, but then, like, if you're on the cusp, like a Tom Green type, like, he was just so at the top that if he did a few good movies, he would have been fine.
Yeah.
But his movies were all horrible.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
So, and unfortunately...
We've derailed. Dangerously derailed.
Well, Tom Green's
going
to be an Expendables 3. You know that? He is an action
Tom
star
Green
now.
Expendables 3. Oh, I want to say something. I never caught this before. Part of me wonders if Sylvester Stallone wearing the beret in these movies is a throwback to Demolition Man, which I kind of hope it is, because that's another fucking great movie that is just wonderful.
And Snipes.
Why
I didn't
even
think about Snipes being in this one.
Why wasn't Lucy Liu...
Maggie. Why don't you want this unknown?
I don't want an unknown... I can't handle another unknown woman in this thing. I just can't. They need to have something.
Brooke Curtis hates women. You heard it here first.
There were all these, like, no-name actresses, and I was just wondering if, like...
Well, let's look into it.
I mean, we don't have to do it on the podcast.
Well, I mean, I've got the Wikipedia page pulled up solely for stuff like
this.
Does
she have another role? Has she done anything?
The actress is Yunnan, so...
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm gonna pull that up. But, I mean, it also, like... Probably, like, budgetary stuff was probably much cheaper to get a relative unknown.
Lucy Liu.
I mean, just like if you're gonna have a woman that isn't a damsel in distress, like the first one, right? Because she was a total damsel in distress.
Yeah.
This one was like, okay, at least she can fucking hold a gun. Albeit her gun was smaller than all the other guys.
Oh yeah.
Because her penis is smaller. But I think like that was so interesting to me is like why not get a kind of a bigger name female action star? I thought that was interesting.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I would. Call Lucy Liu an action star.
For what we have, I think for women, like, she's done a lot of, like, action stuff.
She's Like, she's done a lot of wire foo kind of stuff. Where, like, okay. Well, whereas, like,
do you have a better example of an Asian woman who's had any?
Michelle Yeoh.
Okay.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh, absolutely.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Like, someone, like, at least with some credentials.
Zhang Ziyi?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, why not?
Well, and the other thing, too, I mean, like, it could have.
I don't know what Zhang Ziyi is doing now.
Yeah,
have you seen
I.
anything?
Probably. Well, the new Yunnan, like her English roles seems very limited. Like, she was in Diamond Dogs, which I think I've heard of, and she was in Speed Racer.
Okay, all right, well, that's good.
But I mean, like,
I hope she got a good contract. I hope she got paid for it.
But also, like, she, I mean, like, I don't know what Lucy Liu's like. I don't know if she knows martial arts or anything. Whereas, like.
I'm going to do some research before we do Expendables 3 because you're really not on board.
I like Lucy Liu. I think she's a very good actress. She's wonderful in the Kill Bill
films. Not a good actress. She's just, like, as good at roundhouse kicking.
She's.
Are we debating over her acting ability?
No. I thought she was, like, an ass. She fights people.
She was in Charlie's Angels.
Okay, so was Bill Murray.
So was Drew Barrymore.
She's not an action star.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I don't think she ever has been trained in martial arts or anything.
No, okay.
Yeah,
I just think someone like an actor. I don't know.
And even in Kill Bill, like her action
never
scene
seen
is
it.
A sword fight.
Is it?
Oh, Kill.
It.
Oh,
that was a
we
great
we'll
scene.
Have to get you on next month for the Kill Bills. They're good.
They're good.
They are.
We gotta wrap this up. We gotta get to the theaters.
We got time.
I don't know. There's going to be crazy parking.
I don't know what Brooke needs to rev her up.
Well, here,
I'm going to need a Diet Coke.
Let's bring it back. Let's wrap up a little bit more because I feel like we've...
talked about Tom Green too much.
Yes, that was my mistake.
I'm really sorry.
Hey, that's all right. I let us get derailed too. The airport sequence, I do like that a lot too. I feel like that was... an equally good, if not better, like, finale than the first one. Mainly because the fight with Jean-Claude Van Damme is so much fun. And then you also get the bonus fight between Jason Statham and Scott Adkins, where he punches him into a helicopter rotor.
Right, which you could kind of see coming. But
oh, yeah, absolutely. You don't fight people around a helicopter and not kick somebody into a rotor.
Right.
I also love to, like... they just had, like, the helicopter running and just left it running. Like, no, like nobody ever, like, starts a helicopter like, oh, a fight's broken out. No, I'm going to leave this running. I'm not going to get kicked into this.
Well, no, I mean, do they have to warm up? I feel like a helicopter needs, a minute.
Well,
maybe that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, they absolutely do. But then he looks out, like, consciously observes that there is a fight going on. And, like, at no point entertains the possibility that even if it's not him... somebody could potentially get kicked into that rotor. I'm just saying, safety first, guys.
I think my favorite part about the airport scene is how many windows had to be
broken. Oh, so many windows broken.
So many, because, like, the trucks were just driving through the airport. And I was like, I've been to a lot of airports. There's a lot of efficient ways to get to the jetway that don't involve driving through the airport. But I loved it. I loved it.
I also am impressed at how quickly the civilians evacuate. Like, they're panicked. But it's very fast, and I don't think any innocent people are killed during that scene.
And if they did, I mean, we don't know.
Which is very impressive.
Yeah.
Because, like, usually a movie like this, like, Olympus Has Fallen, like, when they make the attack on the White House, so many people just, like, bike couriers just getting shot in the crossfire.
Mm.
Like, just gunned down. And we also get that great sight gag of Chuck Norris throwing a guy onto the conveyor belt that rolls through the X-ray and then shooting him as the X-ray shows the body flailing around like a bullet-riddled ragdoll.
I did like that.
I also like the little car. Like,
yeah, the smart car.
And he just ripped the door off of it. And I thought that was really... good. Like, it was nice to see Willis and Schwarzenegger, like, on the same screen just firing guns
in this
really little car. It was a very nice little, like, 2-minute scene.
Yeah,
that's where it's like, I don't need Yippie Ki-Yay, just give me that.
Well, yeah, like, I love that their roles were so substantially expanded this time, and that, Schwarzenegger steals every fucking scene he's in.
Yeah.
Like, but that's also, I mean, that's just Schwarzenegger, too, though.
Right.
I like it because, like, Schwarzenegger is so short in real life. I love that, like, they're like, get him next to a smart car. Like, make him look really, really tall. Yeah. I loved that.
I think...
And that final fight... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was very satisfied with that final fight, too.
Yeah.
And I think I liked a lot because it easily could have been like, oh, these guys are older now, so let's just have them handle it with guns.
Yeah.
Like, I watched... I think it's called Six Bullets. It's like a recent Van Damme movie. Mm. And it was really unfortunate because, like, yeah, it's just gunfighting. Like, Van Damme does no hand-to-hand combat.
That's a bummer.
And no martial arts. So I was worried. I'm like, oh, God, are they going to just resolve this with guns?
Yeah.
So it was nice that he was like, you're going to be a man or a sheep.
And yeah, my God,
yes,
that scene
is
so good.
This is exactly what I want, and
yeah,
how I want this to end. And even to have, that it's almost like we got an undercard with Statham Atkins, too.
Yeah,
so it was a really very satisfying end to an action movie.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Movie.
I like the end.
But, and I was reading, too, Stallone did his own stunts again in this one. Against his doctor's orders, because I think I mentioned
what
it.
What's wrong with
him? Well, because I think I feel like I mentioned it in the first one. The scene where he fights Stone Cold in the first one, and he's getting choked out. Like, he broke his neck and like also had back injuries too, and had to undergo a shitload of surgeries like after the movie was done, like to get him back up to 100%. And his doctor's like, no, you should not do your own stunts. Like, you're old and you've completely fucked your body up from doing this shit.
Yeah,
so it's
like,
no, I'm going to do my own stunts.
Yeah, but like, why the fuck not? What else? I mean, like, that's what he lives for. Like, that's what he loves.
Yeah,
like,
and
you
that's
love
why,
it.
Like, that's why I fucking love Stallone. Like, yeah, he's made some dog shit movies, but who hasn't? Like, Stallone is one of, like, those exceptions, like, where he genuinely loves, like, movies. Like, he loves making them. Like, he loves being an action star. And, like, I can't vouch for what he's like as a person. Maybe he's an asshole. I don't know. But it's nice to see somebody, like, who just clearly has such a love for what they fucking do. They're like, if I die doing this, you know, there are less interesting ways to go. He died doing what he loved.
Seriously.
Fighting
no,
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Right.
Or so cold.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What a way to go.
I guess the real tragedy is that we're not going to see Stone Cold in Expendables 3.
Is he in jail?
His character's dead.
His character's dead.
And it's not unheard of.
The Expendables 4, like, all the dead characters somehow come back.
Very, like, zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not unheard of that in a franchise the same actor hasn't come back as a different character. Actually, the Bloodsport franchise did that with not Jean-Claude Van Damme, whoever the guy was after him.
Mm, yeah.
But, yeah, like, I think at this point, I was talking about with somebody, I think, like, the only action stars that they really haven't tapped for the Expendables at this point is Samuel L. Jackson, The Rock, and Vin Diesel.
Yeah, but I don't know about Vin Diesel. I mean,
it's
kind of, like, a newer generation, so I would think, like...
But so is Statham, though,
right?
Yeah, but I feel like Vin Diesel... I actually enjoy Vin Diesel's action movies.
I love Diesel.
I really like them, but I think, like, Statham is just so much... like, grittier, and for this movie he made more sense. Like, Vin Diesel's so polished.
Yeah, well,
you know,
and Statham,
I mean?
Also, like, is legitimately trained in martial arts and shit, too.
Right, and I don't know what
Whereas,
Vin
like,
Diesel's
Vin Diesel
background.
Is just, like, a stone job.
He's
just
kind
just
of, like, trained in armband tattoos, you know what I mean? So, like, I think, like, I first say them to me seems more authentic and a better choice, but not to say that Vin Diesel couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the next step if there is a 4.
Yeah.
Of those three guys you mentioned, like, Diesel seems the most likely and most appropriate.
Yeah, The
like,
Rock
the
would
Rock.
Be way too expensive.
Yeah, and just The Rock is in a weird zone. That's a whole nother podcast, too.
Yeah.
Just analyzing The Rock as an action movie star, because it's complicated.
I think just doing it as a movie star, just looking at,
yeah,
oh, hey, remember when The Rock was in Doom, and then remember when a year later he was in the
game
plan or the Tooth Fairy or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh man, the Tooth Fairy's always on TV.
Oh.
It's always on. It's always on, and I always change it. And then he was Hercules.
Oh, I still need to see that. Alright, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up with our favorite moments.
Again, I think Van Damme on the screen at any time was a lot of favorites. So that final fight scene, I was really happy with it.
Yeah.
And that's probably my favorite moment. I mean, sure, we can, like, laugh at a lot of the silly stuff, but when it comes down to it, like, I really love action movies. I think I'm like you. I defend the merits of them sometimes. And I think this movie stuck to, you know, what can be good about action movies.
It's guns.
It's guns, yes. I didn't want to say it, but...
But you said it!
I think Sylvester Stallone would have wanted me to.
Yeah, exactly.
I really liked the Jet Li scene. I didn't really...
Yeah, that fight scene
was probably, like, my favorite sequence. I know it was pretty short, but I just really enjoyed it, and I was like, it got me in the zone immediately. And it was so early on, like, there wasn't any exposition, and that was kind of, like, representative of, like, let's fucking get into this movie, let's not waste any time. And I thought, it was like, it got, like, not to mention I was really tired this morning, and I was drinking my coffee, and I was like, I'm in it. Like, all right, let's do this. And then he left the screen, and I was like, ooh. But, you know, it was still good. It was, like, a good opening, like, adrenaline rush for to get me into the movie, and I, like, appreciated it.
Yeah, definitely. For me, the Jet Li fight scene is definitely up there. Both of Statham's fight scenes are great. So I would say between those, and of course that final fight with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Stallone was also really good. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'd say it's a three-way tie between those.
It's a three-way between Lee Christmas and Maggie.
And Yin
and
Yang.
Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, and again, of course, anytime Schwarzenegger is on screen.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of favorites.
I love this. I love
my
this
favorite
movie.
Scene is the scene we didn't see of Jean-Claude Van Damme's makeup artist, because she worked her ass off. Also, the plastic surgery budget. You gotta wonder, because that had to be pricey. So many eye lifts, but I liked it.
Well, sounds like Expendables 2 knocked it out of the park for you guys. I'm very glad. Very, very excited to check out 3 and see what our take is on that.
I want some popcorn.
Popcorn and
morning popcorn.
Get ready for. I hope Kelsey Grammer has a knife fight.
And Martin Lawrence. Maybe they're going to make cameos for their new TV show.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Brooke. And we're going to go watch Expendables 3.
Stay tuned.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.